The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
Warning, the following celebratory podcast was recorded in the open air with its hosts in the actual vicinity of each other. Will they remember how to podcast in person? Can they maintain eye contact? Or will they desperately miss the low-res Zoom screen and its slight delays? We'll find out on today's 200th, wow, main feed episode. It's the 200th episode Safe-tacular on today's podcast, The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the podcast about theme parks where we're giving each other the ultimate anniversary gift, not being on fucking Zoom. I'm Scott Gardner, joined on the main feed for the 200th time by Mike Carlson.
I am here. It's also, this is an innovative thing because we're in the elements. We're outside,
yes.
Which is... another like groundbreaking thing, and another treat.
There's a lot of history, yes, beyond what we're doing, the outdoor nature of it. But before we get into that, Jason Sheridan, happy 200.
Happy 200. It does feel a little perverse to like podcast in God's nature, where we can bother your neighbors with like bits. We can hunch outside instead of hunch indoors.
I know we're not meant to be getting fresh air. Like maybe no. One, maybe two go to the parks, and then, you know, to get content, we force ourselves into fresh air, but we don't record the content.
Mm-mm.
In the fresh. Yeah, not at all. That being said, the bigger possibility is less us and more that the neighbor might start blasting loud Italian opera. This has happened every once in a while. I'm making a guess on Italian. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So that could be an issue. Here, before, you might know this from the art or from the title or from something or other, but to celebrate the 200th new main feed episode, we are doing an in-person record right now for the first time in 13 months.
Oh my God. 13 months. Yes, we're here. We can look into each other's actual eyes and not our video eyes.
Yeah. Socially distanced with masks on.
Yes, still masks. So yeah. If there's muffle, that is why. Trying to project over it. We're probably going too far. Like if you give someone the direction and you're at a nightclub, so there's a lot of activity around you, so just make sure you get it here. We sound like we're doing nightclub scenes in movies right
yeah.
now.
Yes. If there's any plane noises, sorry, that's how flight paths work.
Right now, I think.
Yeah, yes, there's one overhead right now. And if you hear any sort of old motors, there's a decent chance Jay Leno has driven by. If you hear a sputtering motor or something from a Model T or some sort of old Studebaker, decent chance it's Mr. Leno.
You know, I saw the president drive by once in Burbank. I was getting gas, and the whole motorcade, the limo, the Cadillac, the bulletproof Cadillac.
Which
one?
Which president?
Obama. I guess I should. Obama. And that was...
Three presidents ago, and you said the president?
I guess I should have said a president.
I saw Jimmy Carter drive by in Burbank.
He
was headed to the Bob's Big Boy.
Hey, anything can happen. It's Burbank, and we're out in the elements of Burbank. This is cool. I don't think we're making the perma switchback, and we might listen back to this and go, well, we certainly won't do it that way again.
Mm-hmm.
But seem like a good little treat to give ourselves, because it's been a while. I've got some stats, and maybe you want to take a guess. some miserable stats, but I feel less miserable about them because I'm seeing you guys. Main feed only. How many episodes over Zoom?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you said 13 months, what, 13 times 4, which is, I can't. 13 times 4,
there's
40
breaks,
plus
though.
12, 52. So, yeah, a couple breaks, 49.
A little less, I would say. I didn't give Jason a chance to guess.
Oh,
if you want to guess.
40 even?
45, right in the middle.
Okay.
45 of these out of 200, so almost a quarter of the main feed this entire time. We've been doing the podcast for almost 4 years, and over a year of it has been this way. The Patreon's so newish comparatively that, wait, I think, okay, 35 of the second gates have been over Zoom, and there's only been, I'm sorry, oh no, 38 if you count Little Odds and Ends, like the Casamigos rebuttal or little holiday episodes we've done. There's only 94 of those in general, so 40% of the Patreon's life entirely has been in the stupid way we've had to do it.
Wow.
For a while.
Gee whiz.
Can you believe it?
I mean, I can, because I feel like I've aged a decade in this last year.
Big time. I've never felt old until now. I've never had concerns about and depression about being old. I've been nostalgic for, like, 2005. Suddenly these eras that seemed like yesterday, I'm like, I can barely recall. It was another world then.
Yeah.
You know, I think for the Zoom recordings, like, I turn, there's a part of my brain that turns, like, performing brain that turns on.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when that happens in person at, like, Mike's place or at a theater or something, I have to be human afterwards, you know, have some, you know, we just chit-chat, maybe we get lunch, or if that is, I gotta, you know, say hi to people afterwards. Regardless, in person or digital, I just go, well, I feel like shit, I did a bad job. But when you do it over Zoom, it's kind of bad, because then you can just walk to a couch or a bed and lie face down, and you just give into that sense of defeat.
This is the typical, these are things, despite many episodes together, I don't know that you go face plant after an episode like a comic script character.
Michael on Arrested Development. Sometimes I walk the dog or something.
That's confusing because,
like,
I just said comic, but yeah, Garfield's the dog.
Yes.
Jane's dog.
Sometimes, you know, I try to keep it human. I try to, like, decompress a little after recording. I mean, sure. We did shows at UCB for years where I would just walk off stage, like, pretty much always, and just be in my head of, like, oh, well, that could have gone better. And I just hard on myself, you know?
Well, you don't have to worry about the bad improv shows anymore.
They might be back.
That's true. They might, and yeah, maybe it'd be fun at this point. Yeah, I'm having this opposite thing, and I'm curious if you guys have had it or if any listeners are having this, because I think this might be like a syndrome in the world that is building. The little bit of backyard hangs that I've had, and this one right now might be one of them. I think it's the opposite of you, Jason. I'm not feeling weird and bad after Zoom stuff. I'm feeling weird and bad after things in person because I don't know how to do it anymore. I've found myself needing to apologize for things that are made up. Checking with Erin, was I okay? And she's like, what do you mean? You're fine. Like, overanalyzing, because all of our, I think a lot of people like us, our social skills were tenuous to begin with, and now we might have to build them all back up. I don't know how to be at a party anymore. I don't know how to, like, introduce people to people they don't know and hop from one cluster to another. It's all gone.
Yeah, I have not been doing many. I mean, I would see people briefly outside for the last year. But Jason and I were actually seeing someone for their birthday, a friend of the show, Marissa Strickland. And I remember the first 5 minutes, we're all standing very far away from each other and we're all talking and there's cars driving by and it's impossible to hear each other and you're straining and you're like, oh yeah, these are like my friends that I'm comfortable with. But then I'm trying and I remember, like, it took me 15 minutes and then I made a joke and it killed finally. And I went, all right, I'm back. I remember, like, it wasn't working and I felt like I had been making bad jokes and then finally one worked okay and then I, like, settled down a bit. But there was definitely a lot of, like, clunkiness in my head. Now I guess I'm just bragging about making a joke, which is annoying. But I'm
now
just
your
trying
punishment's
to...
coming later. Yeah. It was just delayed.
That's a good point. Scott's referring to the fact that I got emotional after we was done because I hadn't seen people in so long. But yes, no, it's very strange, and it's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah,
it's gonna be weird.
It was nice to see a bunch of our old friends or old performer friends, and the podcast that came out of that group, Podcast The Ride, half of Off Book the Musical, a quarter of Wild Horses. What a time.
That's true, yes.
The 100% of the Ben Shapiro show.
Well, you know, he doesn't talk to us anymore, and he wasn't a very giving improviser to begin with, you know?
That's why he went more information, quote.
Yeah, he's not a natural talent like Gutfield or something.
Gutfield.
We're in the crater of Gutfield.
Gutfeld.
Gutfeld. Oh, excuse me.
You're thinking of Garfield, Jason, and you
I am,
Gutfield.
And he's such a good boy.
More not. Gutfeld is not Garfield, the dog, who's not Garfield the cat.
Yeah. We're going to do a thing later, and I was like, should I make a Gutfeld joke in here? But now I've decided not to do it. Because we've already mentioned Gutfeld.
No way. If that's at the end of the show, then people will be hungry for more Gutfeld.
We'll see. I'll decide at the time we do it.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Fox News has introduced their answer to late night comedy, and it's dog shit. It sucks. And it took me back to one of my very first jobs in LA, where I remember someone had a framed picture of the whole cast and crew of one of the previous jobs they worked on, the half hour news hour.
Oh, yes.
And
of course.
I was just like, why would you frame that? You're only in this office for 3 months to begin with. Why do you have that?
It really taints your view of somebody to have if they have a framed photo of that.
Yeah.
Cold open. The only thing I know about that show is that the cold open was Rush Limbaugh. R.I.P.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, I was really, like, blank in my head, and then I went, I know. I remember now.
I remember
all of this. Yes.
That cold open. Yeah, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, Gutfeld's not so good. My favorite joke was he's being mean to all the late-night hosts, and he says, Jimmy Fallon does more fawning than a pack of deer. Which is like that's like when Norm Macdonald did the fake roast jokes.
Yes.
Shit on the idea of roasts in general. That's like, has there ever been a joke softer than more fawning than a pack of deer?
Begging for Reader's Digests. Like, please give me, like, geez, I need to.
You have to go way back into the 1900s to find a softer joke than that.
Would I like to talk about the Gutfeld monologue all episode? Yes, I would.
But what a waste that would be of this moment we're together.
There's theme park news afoot.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Well, plenty. Because they're turning the machines back on. What are you referring to, though, Jason?
I have a few things. The biggest, thing announced that I saw on the last day or so, we're recording this a couple days before it came out, the Velocicoaster at Universal Orlando's Island of Adventure opening June 10th.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Didn't know that. Wow, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Neat.
That's good.
I think I've determined might be too intense for me.
Really?
I've looked at some footage. It looks like the greatest roller coaster ever. But I don't know if the digital ride through that I watched is accurate. I think it might push my boundaries a little too far.
Would you do Hulk at this point?
Not sure. I didn't last time. I don't know. Again, what if my ride stamina is gone?
Oh,
I have
not
been staying
worse?
In shape in the last 13 months.
That's interesting. I was thinking you would be more raring to do new things, but I guess if we're talking about sort of shrinking in other facets of our lives. Maybe it will. Maybe. Well, wait. Are you saying there's a chance that I might not like haunts anymore?
Oh, no. Have you? No, there's no. Come
what?
On. Like, people in the dark lunging at you, strangers in really narrow corridors.
Oh,
of course,
God.
You're going to love it.
Doesn't that seem more pleasant than an unseen plague lurking around every corner or potentially inside the bodies of your friends and loved ones?
Distrusting everyone you know and like or dislike or
walking
everyone.
Walking by a stranger on the street who looks very kind and you're just a second away from going, don't. You dare look at me.
Back off.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right.
You've lived in a haunt this whole time. It's a good thing you got in shape.
guess that's a good point. So maybe I'll be better. I'm so dead inside now at this point that I'll be even more ready for haunts. But I don't know with Velocicoaster. I feel like Velocicoaster will be on par with Hulk, because I was thinking of the same issue too. Like, if first of all, if you're listening to this for your first podcast, the right episode, turn it off and listen to another one, because this is going to be a lot of inside baseball, I think.
And weird muffled mask talk as well.
And it's weird muffled mask talk. Sure doesn't sound like this a lot. But I was thinking about this, and I was like, when I go back to Six Flags, should I be braver and try to do like X2, which scares the shit out of me?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I still feel like I don't want to. But maybe I have to. I don't know. Really, to throw myself in the deep end? I don't know.
You have to ask yourself, will it be, is it a personal thing? Do you think that the audience will be excited enough for you to be worth it? Do you want the likes and the clicks that much? Or is it a personal growth thing?
Oh, I think it's both. I mean, I'm a needy, desperate performer who wants to please a bunch of listeners, a bunch of Cliffords, that by doing something new, and they know I'm out of my comfort zone, and that's always amusing, I think. I as a viewer or a listener like that. So I think I feel some sort of pressure to deliver on a new experience. And also, yeah, like it would be, I feel like a little bit accomplished when I do something new. That's true. That's part of it, I think.
Hey, if I can tangent for just a sec, since you mentioned Clifford, check out Google theme. No, what is it called? Human Boy Worldwide is it's this clothing startup that is doing a short run of Clifford hats and T-shirts. And then after that, they're doing a line of shirts based on posters for Robert Altman movies, but just the logo. So, like, you can get a Clifford shirt, and then in a few weeks you can get a shirt that says, like, The Long Goodbye or McCabe and Mrs. Miller. And I know I'm stocking up.
Honoring all the best films.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they're selling a Jiminy Glick shirt, too, which is very funny.
Did they get, like, the Martin Short rights just of his whole
catalog?
Don't
worry about it.
I bought, you know what I did a couple weeks ago, and it hasn't shipped, so I'm worried. Some weird site was, like, offering a bootleg-looking Jim Carrey Riddler Batman Forever shirt, and I just pulled the trigger immediately on it. But now that I think about it, it was like, was it legit? Did I get scammed like I did when I gave my credit card info for the Mr. Tato biography? I don't know, because it hasn't shipped. I don't have it yet, but maybe it's a similar situation where they don't have the official Clifford rights. Has anyone noticed? I feel like Clifford is in the zeitgeist now somehow.
Did we cause it somehow?
I don't know. I don't know if we were just part of the zeitgeist with Clifford or we caused it. I don't know.
Are people where else? What else do you mean by zeitgeist? How is Martin Short's Clifford in the zeitgeist?
I just see it more on Twitter. I know part of it is probably an algorithm thing where I had searched for it.
Well, I think it's easily viewable on HBO Max at this point.
And it's viewable there.
Yeah.
I did watch it. Not great. It's not great.
Oh, we watched it too. We had a great time.
I was ready. I was ready to go. Here we go.
You know what it is, I think, is that I think if you view, because I've watched clips, right? Obviously, the wonderful roller coaster scene that won the fake theme park Final Four, that's great. But besides that, there'll be a scene with Dabney Coleman or a scene with Charles Grodin that's great. Mm-hmm. And you watch the scenes and you think this is a good movie. And then it all together, right? Like, I'm sure it was awesome on set. They probably thought they were making the greatest thing. And that's not nothing. There's movies where everybody's cracking each other up where the scenes aren't good either. So yeah, I do give it up to Clifford for that. But maybe that's the problem. Individual moments are good. But Jason, you'd maybe disagree and say it's all...
I mean, I had seen it a couple times already. And I like the performances a lot from Grodin and Short and Steenburgen and Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, as a film, capital F film, like, I don't know that it holds up together, but there's some very funny comedy moments.
The scene where Martin Short is like, look, he's like, you can't even look normal, like a normal little boy, and he's looking around. That is very funny.
You can't beat it, yeah.
The incredible amount to which Clifford rigs explosives to blow up the model of the public transit system.
Yes.
It is a, like, really vicious explosion.
Yes.
It's very impressive. Really nice analog, tactile, so much debris. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to start. Like, we know how things go with us. You start, you think you don't like something, and then we talk about it, and we talk about it
again.
Yeah,
you're right.
And
that's true. And then I'm the biggest Clifford fan in the world.
Especially you, Mike. There was a comment, I don't know if it was in a mailbag or a tweet or something, but I don't know if this ever made it your way. I just saw a listener to the show saying that there's an evolution with Mike, which is hearing about something, maybe kind of disliking it. then coming around and starting to think that it's good or cute.
Right, right.
And then the next step, which is making it so much of a tenet of your personality that you must defend it at all costs.
I don't know
who said it or where. Take credit somewhere if you said it, but that's happened a number of times in these 200 episodes.
Yeah, I do think that is true. I mean, obviously, the Jimmy Buffett is the best example of it. I guess to some degree, Avatar and the Mighty Akron. I think there's levels of it. I think there's levels. Like the Buffett is, again, that's the max version of it.
Duffy is, I think, one of
Duffy,
those.
You're right,
started
you're right.
Making fun of Duffy.
Correct.
And then it became steadily less and less ironic.
Right.
I think maybe to a lesser extent, Baby Aladar. It's not so much.
It's in the family.
Yeah. It's a mini version of this.
Right, right. But it's like, whereas like Jimmy Buffett, I'll listen to in the car, and I'm not actually thinking about Aladar so much during the day, Baby Aladar. maybe it could become that, but yeah, it hasn't happened. But no, that's not entirely wrong. It becomes sort of a fun toy at a certain point, and then becomes truly not ironic at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Just watch. Yeah, things just end up on the other side of the fence. Maybe Baby Aladar would be helped along if the Baby Aladar I got you ever came. But that's a strand. That's another, like, delivery that hasn't shown up many, many months ago. So many months ago.
It was cursed. You had bought me a cursed Baby Aladar.
Oh, yeah. There was that discussion, I think. Yeah. We had that on the show, or listeners did, too. I think there were comments that were like, I had one of these, and it, like, wouldn't stop making noise.
Yes, right, a listener right. had one, and anytime they tried to donate it somewhere, it always ended up back in the house, and it would not stop making noise as the batteries slowly gave out.
Jesus. Man. Oh, my God. It's the one toy that's actually alive. It's not Woody and Buzz. It's just Baby Aladar.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't even, like, pretend to not be alive when you're looking at him. He's just always alive.
Hi.
It's like the Krusty doll.
Change me. I peed again. What else is going on news-wise, though?
Well, Universal Hollywood put up a link for announced reservations for annual pass holders. They're keeping their annual pass program growing. Oh. To make reservations to see the park reopen once again. And the websites crashed or didn't load at all again and again for people.
Right.
And simultaneously, almost within a day or two, Disney has announced, here's how you buy tickets to Disneyland.
Yeah. Not my favorite. I'm not digging the amount of complication here. I don't understand this thing where April 15th, tickets are on sale, but no, wait, April 15th. No, that's right. April 15th, you can buy tickets. April 12th, you can make reservations. So everybody has the jump on you if they have tickets already, but our annual passes are worth nothing.
Yes. I was just catching up on this right before I left. If you already bought tickets and obviously you hadn't gone and they were still good, you have a better opportunity to book a reservation for Disney. There's no one talk. I had said this and I was incorrect because somebody had said that they would have a new annual pass program by the time at Disney opened, but that's not obviously the case. So I got very confused by looking at all these paragraphs.
Yeah.
And yes, it seems like all of this is a mess, like as usual.
Sure.
And confusing.
But it's par for the course. It's kind of interesting how Disney-esque syndromes have entered all of our lives with the effort to get shots and vaccines.
Yes,
and
that's true.
Like, I think there's so it. I think it's been reminding a lot of people of trying to get into Galaxy's Edge, trying to get onto Rise of the Resistance.
That's true.
Or what I mean, have you?
In hindsight, getting into Galaxy's Edge in general, and even getting onto Rise of the Resistance that first day, that makes almost every other system we've had to deal with in the last year and a half look like shit. In hindsight, Galaxy's Edge worked very smoothly.
Yes.
The reservation system worked very smoothly to even get on Rise of the Resistance. It was hard to get there early and do all that stuff. But once it was done, we went on. It was great. That was like great. I mean, it sounds like this thing is going to be a disaster for a lot of reasons. And like Universal is also a disaster.
Yeah.
So people are frustrated. We're not looking to go back first day. I'm usually a first day guy, but in this instance, I'm going to let
not this one
numbers go down more. I will wait till I'm vaccinated and then.
How soon does everybody go though? As soon, like once you're because you get second shot, then you wait, what is it? Is it 10 days? Is it 14 days?
It's 2 weeks. 14 or something.
How soon do you go?
It's a very good question. And look, it depends on the spread. It depends on how we're doing numbers-wise in the area. So if we continue to go down like we are, and I'm 2 weeks out, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very flexible, I'm very flexible right now. I'm optimistic like a lot of people are. There's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. So the whole thing is flexible. I think I've said this, there's a good chance I will be at Disney or Universal before maybe I'm inside with a bunch of people that aren't living with me.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think it is, it's a rare time, maybe ever, that this will happen where, Disneyland is competing with my desire to go to the dentist and, more importantly, the eye doctor, because this prescription is aging rapidly and my eyes are starting to...
Oh, no.
Are your eyes going
the last year?
Huh?
Are your eyes deteriorating?
Well, on and off just from the amount of screen time. Just lack of being outside and lack of screen time. I've figured out tricks. It's better now. I did go like a year ago, almost a year ago. I did go because my one eye was bothering me, but that sometimes happens during allergy season. The left eye kind of flares up because I didn't know this until I was like 32, 33 that you can get allergies in your eyes. So I will probably get some new glasses soon. That's kind of high on my list.
If you haven't noticed, I'm like, God knows, 40%, 30%, like 35% gray. It's like really crazy at this point.
I have, because I've seen you in person twice this whole time.
Right.
This is number three.
So like my hair is crazy right now, but that's going.
It's kind of like you're showing us stuff beneath the surface, at least. It seems like it's landing at the roots. you're able to hide it still.
Yes. Like I can hide it with the top. The top hair is still brownish, but everything else is just going white. Just so crazy fast. There was an audition I had a couple weeks ago for a commercial that we shot, and I shot it outside on the little porch we have, and the light on my hair, I looked like Steve Martin. Not looks wise but hair wise and I went, oh my God. And then I like was emailing my agent like, tell them I'll do whatever they want to my hair.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Do you have to change your type now?
Well, yeah, I changed it from like, man in his 30s to aging grandparent.
That's aging grandparent.
Yeah, very
so
old.
Still,
yeah.
Your type is now 89.
Yeah, I'm 88 to 89 or so. And I have to like kind of, in the headshot, I have like a hunch. I added a hunch to my stance. To really make it attractive to the casting people.
So if it's if it's like commercials for flip phones and medical bracelets,
you're
the guy to call.
I'm definitely going to be in commercials that are airing during Gutfeld. That's absolutely what will be happening. They're all non-union, but I'll go against SAG. I'll go against my union to work and make $1,000 forever.
Look, Mike's in it. Is it a comedy sketch?
No, we all about Eve Chuck Woolery. Snake Chuck Woolery for a catheter spot.
This is for a shower safety seat. Huh. Well, at least he's working.
Oh, I fell and hurt my butt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's getting a payday, I guess. Look out for that, please.
Yeah.
By the way, the next time we record in person, I'm going to look so jet black. I'm going to look like a 70-year-old rock and roll guy in like your favorite classic rock band on stage, where you go, there, that hair cannot be real.
Look how fake. Yeah.
And special guest Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
Podcast The Ride.
I will have the fakest looking hair next time you see me. It will look so bad.
Sopranos level.
Yeah. It might just be a piece. It might just be I'll just get a wig. It might look better.
Go full Spectre. Just might as well make it wild too. Just change the image.
Or I'll do a little Steven. I'll just do a do-rag permanently.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
I've got to sort of like a bandana around my head for the rest of my life.
You just like affix this. There are little pins you can put in my skull so I always have this bandana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a doctor will administer the bandana to make sure it's safe. And then I would never take it off.
It's going to be tough for the airport. That's the main thing you got to worry
That's
about.
That's a good point. But
70 bandana pins.
Maybe I'll have like a doctor's note. Let them know that this is a medical bandana.
It's medical Stevieism, I see.
Yeah. And then I can... Then I can you know, meet Steve and I'll have something to talk to him about.
We got to go, if everybody's feeling old, we got to go back to where the youths are. And that's Magic Mountain. Magic Mountain is open now. We could
leave this and
go to Magic Mountain currently. They got right to it. I think April Fool's Day, but not a joke.
They have been open
for a little bit. Do we have any idea how it's going?
I was watching a YouTuber go there and it seemed fine. It seemed like... They didn't, it was hard to tell, you know, if the upkeep has been okay there. It's not like, you don't know if that's like normal, this normal year, or that was just there before. I mean, you can guess, but it seems like the park looks okay. It seemed like everything was running.
Quite a bit outdoors already.
That helps them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like Justice League is inside and there's a couple other things. The Full Throttle Lounge, I don't know that the YouTuber did not go in there.
Are there safety measures at the Full Throttle Lounge? This is what our listeners need to know. It's what we need to know.
Are there advanced cleaning techniques being employed at Chop 6?
It's a good question. The YouTuber did not go into this detail. I will say the top floor at Full Throttle does not allow a lot of social distance. Because we were packed in there up there. So maybe only the first floor should be open at Full Throttle Lounge. But the people there seem to have a good time. And
they should really, at least for a little while, just keep it 25% throttle.
Yeah.
Like wait for more word for the governor to go full throttle.
When Joe Biden announces that they can go full throttle, then it's time. Or Dr. Fauci just make sure you listen to health officials when judging how hard you should throttle it. Make sure. That's just something I think we should all really abide
determining
by.
Determining a throttle percentage. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're depending on what tier we are in California. What tier are we? Are we purple tier?
No, we've dropped down to orange.
Oh, okay. That's good,
right? And in some cases, red, I think. It dropped to where parks could open, and then it dropped again to parks could open from, like, 15% to 25%.
Right.
I believe, don't quote me on that, I think that's somewhere in the ballpark.
They were going to, like, if things were stayed the way that they were, the incredibly restrictive levels, like, Chapek would have, like, gone to the governor's mansion and, like, held Newsom out by his legs, like, out of a window, Suge Knight style. It was going to get really ugly if they didn't change things.
Yeah, Chapek would have put, like, a bomb in the Haunted Mansion and said, I'm going to blow this up, and you, all you Disney fans, you go and demand. Like, he would have done something like that, I think.
Sort of Joker-esque. And if you have a problem with this, here's where Newsom lives.
Exactly. And then that would have been... you would see, like, a million mobilized people, and that would have happened.
I mean, he's still under... The way... Folks, if you don't know anything about California election law, if you get enough signatures in California, you can hold an election for governor. You can recall the governor. I believe that's how Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor.
There's precedent. There's an insane precedent.
Gavin Newsom seems like a little bit of a dunce. He seems like he sucks a little. I don't know that much about him. I don't follow him that closely. But God knows what sort of Orange County psychos would come out of the woodwork if he was called. What sort of, like, Tito Ortiz for governor. He's already on, like, a city council or something.
Yeah, that's the issue. Yeah, even if you're, like, yeah, whatever, change him. Like, you can't be, because it would be so horrific whoever swept in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no telling.
It doesn't seem like it'll happen.
But the only plus side is, they may be like a crazy person, but they would certainly let Disney do whatever they want as far as building new rides.
They
would really push, they would let them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I guess that aligns with... Yeah, this is the only area where our viewpoints might align with right wing is our desire for there to be any and everything that Disney ever wants.
Yes, this guy, this governor or mayor is a horrible right-wing fascist. But
but he loves the secret of Silver Springs or whatever the hell that thing
and
is.
And he said he'll open an X-Men's mansion. And I want to see the beds. I want to see Colossus's bed in the X-Mansion. So please, Mr. Fascist, please win this election.
They're going to do a rescuer's ride. We get to shrink down to the size of the little mice.
Oh, Bernard and Bianca, thank you. Sorry. Sorry, everyone else. For...
Now, just now, I don't like that you poisoned the other candidate, but so just don't do it again.
One other piece of news that I saw real quick as I was going out the door today, and you know, Carly Wiesel has the more detailed breakdowns on a lot of this stuff, as usual. But I saw Scott Gustin on Twitter posted, new, beginning April 8th, Walt Disney World will allow guests to remove their mask when, quote, taking an outdoor photo. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be a little premature just because you've trained people to a certain level of behavior. And then to scale it back this quickly. I also saw like variant number, there's a variant surge in Florida. Again, I have not read a ton about this.
Which one?
Who knows? But
the new one, it's a Florida. It's a local.
It's the Orlando variant. It was created at Islands of Adventure.
I mean, I think they've loosened vaccine like I think a lot of people are eligible for the vaccine down there. But I don't know that taking the mask off for a photo. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, look, it's all confusing and weird. It's like, the thing is, even with like eating outside, it's like once you're eating, then you don't have the mask on, and it feels like you maybe milk like an extra minute out of that. It's like you're not actually like, eat, mask.
Yeah.
Like the rest, and it feels like, yeah, maybe you're taking a photo outside. Obviously, if it's outside, it's a different story. I'm so exhausted by all of it. At this point, I just go, whatever. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't have it in me to get riled up about this. Like, it's not where I live. Just, yeah, am I going to get the thing? Great. Can I go to the park? Can I get my plastic wine and go on three rides? See, this is all going to work out really well for the speed that I do.
Well, that's true. Yeah, and if you want more details, I mean, the Disney Parks blog has a full list of dining and attractions that will be open when Disneyland opens and DCA opens. So
what's the thing that you have to, like, sign after, like, a countries go to war and then they absolve each other of anything that happened?
A treaty?
A treaty or something. Mm-hmm. I'd have to blanket sign a treaty with, like, any of my scolding instincts of seeing somebody on Instagram, and I go, well, that's bad to do that. I just have to wash it away and say, all right, you've all been pardoned. I'm pardoning everyone in my brain. I can't have this here. I don't need to hold this.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time of being edgy about every photograph we see and every outing we've had.
We have to let go of it for our own mental health. And yes, I agree, probably not a great idea to take photos without a mask at this point, but
you do it quick, maybe, and it's outside. If it's just this little snap off, I think it depends on your style.
Yes, it depends.
Your technique.
And I was alluding to the fact that, like, certainly you're going to get your person that's going to be like, well, I was just taking a photo for 10 minutes. That's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. People have been fighting. I think ultimately most people aren't.
I think it's crazy that there aren't more awful Florida stories. There have been these. Obviously, there was just one that got around a lot of a guy saying, hey, I paid $15,000 here. You can't file a trespassing charge against me. That one was kind of wild. There's the spikes, and you know that the media is going to pick up on them because they are all crazy and that they're fun. But, like, I like that there's not one of these every 3 days,
as far as catching its storylines, is that a child or a dog?
It's kids.
That's
an occupational head. Paperton, it's like we're at the park.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I haven't heard it. I would be interested to talk to a cast member and see if there's like low-key versions, because that the one you're describing is like, that's such a It's not funny or fun, but it is a crazy blow up of like a scene. Somebody's making a huge scene about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are low key ones. I don't know. I'd be interested to talk to somebody who's been on the ground.
I saw a screen grab of a Facebook post where someone's like, "Hey, cast members, you gotta be nicer and smile. We all need this right now." And it's like, Jesus, what is your life if you're posting that? Like, hey, come on, give that extra effort. And it's like, come on, lady.
What are you seeing where it's not like that? Because I haven't been to fully operational Disney World. I haven't been fully operational anywhere, but I've been to Knott's Berry Farm for these food tasting things, and everyone is so nice and happy. These employees are great.
Yes.
I think you have to be looking for things to be upset about to have that point of view.
Yes, I agree. I don't know how you couldn't go to these places and not just be like, you are the nicest person. Thank you for working. You have put yourself at risk more than other people. God bless you, or whatever you non-denominational thing you want to say. Because like the people, as we've said before, like one of my biggest complaints, just in general, is like I wish the company had taken better care of these people in general. Because they're like the people that make. It's nice to see these people. 99% of all the people that work at these places are really nice, and like make your time nice. So,
yeah.
Yes, that is annoying of like, you should be smiling for me more. I should be seeing you happy. And you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's the thing to judge, I think, in the future. Yeah, if you are being unpleasant to, for certainly theme park employees, but like wait staff or any of these kinds of, this has to be dead. We can't do this anymore after the year that we've had. It shouldn't have been happening anyway.
Yes.
Got a siren now. These things are going to happen. But it's part of the fun. You got to react and respond.
Could that be Jay Leno just driving around an old-time police car?
Hey.
He's surely deputized in some jurisdiction.
Yeah, well, in Burbank. He has to be in Burbank. He could probably make an arrest in Burbank.
Yeah, I could shoot some in the middle of the street. Shoot some in the middle of Olive Avenue, and they wouldn't arrest me.
Nothing would happen to me. They wouldn't take my show away. Jay Leno's Garage. On CNBC.
Oh, man, I was watching a lot of Jay's Garage the last couple of days.
Wasn't Weird Al just on?
I watched the Weird Al clip. They always do a funny bit at the end. I was watching one with Bill Goldberg, the pro wrestler.
Ah.
And then that ends with Jay doing a bit where he's hitting on Goldberg's wife. And then, like, Goldberg, like, makes mad, and then they kick Jay out of the car, and that's the end of the bit. Jay is so... I love, like, 70-year-old exhausted Jay.
Yeah.
There's something so funny about, like, just tired, not paying attention, really, when somebody else is talking, which I think has been a criticism of him forever, but...
He's aging in such an interesting, bizarre way. He's so top-heavy, and I don't mean, like, in a flabby way. He's, like, so... He's like an action figure. He looks like a street shark or something.
Yeah.
But, like, little on the bottom.
Yes, I know.
So much up there. And the head's big as always.
I like the mane. I like that. Like, he gets to have a little more fun with his hair, you know? He used to have to be so put together on The Tonight Show, you know?
I don't know if he has it in him or if he'd want to or what would happen if he could, but I, like, boy, a beard would be something. I'd just be so curious what that head does.
I'm totally
to
into that. Have you seen the Jay Leno's Garage where he's with Biden a couple years ago?
I did watch it post-election.
Yeah.
Actually, he's the president. I should probably get to this.
Well, of course, it's an important piece of history now. And then they're like, there's a bit in it. And Jay's like, there's a guy driving up behind us. Who could this be or whatever? And then they like pull over in a parking lot. And Colin Powell pulls up in a car with sunglasses, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, check out Jay's Garage on CNBC and YouTube clips.
And if you're hungry for more comedy, Gutfeld.
And Gutfeld, yeah.
Gutfeld's always there for
doing.
You, too. Is this the point in time where we should turn to some listener questions? Make this a Podcast the Ride post office.
Unless you want a segment.
Do we want a palate cleanser, questions? Potentially?
Sure. Does someone want to... Do you have something? I have something.
Well, let's do your thing.
Okay,
your
great.
Thing,
yeah. Well, yeah. So,
segments.
This is,
we're segments, everybody.
Yeah, we
have the time.
We've got some segments to celebrate.
Remember those?
So this is what I wrote down very early on in the show, and we never had a spot for. And at the time, I called it "The Stitch Like This." And so if you weren't in the parks in the later aughts in the 2010s, there was a period of time where Stitch was on a lot of theme park merchandise, wearing theme park, you know, accoutrements, mouse ears, T-shirts, churros, turkey legs. And that's all fine. But Disney's very, you know, strict about, like, what they let be on theme park merchandise. And I wanted to see what the real Stitch heads were about.
Huh.
So I went to TeePublic. And I'm going to toss some stuff out, some collabs, if you will. And you can tell, you guys can guess whether I was able to find, like, say, like, Stitch and Halloween.
Okay.
Was I able to find a T-shirt of Stitch?
Wait. Oh, so that is one. That is, you're saying, like, you're gonna throw us the combo,
yeah.
And we're gonna say did they do it or not? Well,
yes.
That's pretty broad. There's got to be some Stitch in Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a really cute, like, Stitch and a jack-o'-lantern.
Wonderful.
That's nice. Yeah.
Okay. So how about?
Is there something? Do you say like? Stitch with a ding, or how do we deter if there is a Stitch or not a Stitch? If Stitch wins the round, then you have to say Ohana means family.
Yeah, Stitch, yeah, that's good.
Okay, so the we'll say Ohana means family. Okay, so that was okay. Just for the sample round. Okay, let's go on to the first one. Stitch and coffee.
That's,
yeah.
For, oh, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Of course. I don't care
offices.
What day it is. It's early. I'm grumpy. I want coffee. Stitch wants coffee. So, Ohana means family.
Ohana means family.
Ohana means family.
Yeah. Stitch and a Big Mac.
Maybe there's a legal trouble there. I want to say conceptually somebody has done that, but maybe it's out on a technicality.
Yeah, no sign of Stitch and a Big Mac.
Hmm. Wait, so, okay, so if you don't, do you just say no, or
okay, that, yeah.
No. Great.
Stitch and adulting.
Yeah.
Adulting, that seems,
of
that
course.
Seems right.
Yeah,
that's a good search.
I did find it, but Stitch gave adulting 1 star, overrated, overpriced, would not recommend. So,
Ohana means family, but adulting... No, thank you.
Stitch understands the concept of adulting.
Wow. Stitch and Superman.
Huh, that's a good question. Now, does Stitch playing Superman count? Some sort of superhero Stitch with an S on his chest.
I think that would count, yeah.
There's got to be that, right? Yes?
Yeah, I guess it's a yes.
I found Batman. I found Deadpool. I did not find Stitch and Superman, so...
Deadpool? Do you remember what Deadpool was? Was it just him with the mask?
It's him in the costume. It's him in the big red costume.
Man, hell yeah.
And this
wear that on a first date, and your date will know everything you're about.
And this has to be on... TeePublic?
On TeePublic.
Okay, because there are plenty of Stitch dressed as Superman pictures.
Oh.
Okay.
You're looking for merch. You're looking for a la Disney. There's a way for someone to profit from this.
Yeah. Right.
How about Stitch and the Son of God, Jesus Christ?
They seem like they could be opposites, potentially. But somebody must have combined them. I'll say Ohana means family.
Yeah, Ohana means family.
I fell in love with the man who died for me. That is Stitch and the cross.
Whoa.
Stitch and the cross.
Wow. I can't see what's on the shirt. What is Stitch's emotional state in this?
Stitch is gingerly holding the cross.
Like, just kind of gently... It's not the cross he died on, or is it Jesus?
Well, it's a very big cross.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is a man-sized cross.
Wow.
So, Ohana means family. Stitch and dream catchers.
Oh, interesting.
Good search.
That is interesting. I'm just going to say no.
I'll say no to switch it up.
And unfortunately, Stitch. This is a
Stitch dream catcher.
It just is a dream catcher.
It's a dream catcher on Obvious Family.
Wow. Oh, it's so. Oh, wait. It's with ears.
With
that's
ears
how it, all
and
on
it's
Mickey
blue.
Ears. Wow. Wow.
Interesting.
Just wild. Just a couple more. Stitch and antidepressants.
Don't talk to me till I've had my antidepressants. I'll say yes.
I think I'm going to say yes.
And you would be correct. Here's Stitch coming out of a big bottle labeled antidepressants. If I had made that up whole cloth, that would have been weird. But reality is much weirder.
Coming out of one? What if he got in there and ate them all?
Yeah, that's bad for him. That's bad for Stitch.
Stitch.
Oh, that means family.
Get me to a hospital.
Stitch and the Blue Lives Matter movement.
Oh,
that's got to be yes.
I hate saying yes, but of course.
Not just one, but two different sellers.
I'm surprised.
Selling.
Wait, he's blue,
Stitch,
right?
Back the blue.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Don't bring him into this. He doesn't take sides. He's anti one thing, and that's adulting.
And so to wrap it up, I'll change it up a little bit. I want you to fill in the blank of what ailment would go here. I have blank. I don't have the energy to pretend I like you today. I have blank. I don't have the energy to pretend to like you today.
Oh, Stitch's ray gun?
I have blank, like, you know, like Monday-itis.
I'm sorry, you're both wrong. I would have accepted epilepsy, fibromyalgia, or diabetes.
What?
I have diabetes. I don't have the energy to pretend I like you today.
Okay, so it would be specific to whatever you have with Stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Same seller. It might be a robot making these, but they are all different. And, of course... Stitch says, never give up for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, that's
which is
nice.
Kinda, which is nice.
Nice.
I thought something nice to end.
Yeah, okay.
So that's been Cross Stitch. I'm calling that Cross Stitch.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm really stuck on... You have a mood shirt about your epilepsy? And Jen, no matter if Stitch or not, it's bizarre.
It's a little strange.
Wow.
Well, Holiday means family.
Beautiful. Okay. Well... You want to crack into some listener questions?
Yes,
sure.
Yes.
Do we need a break or anything?
I'm good, but if you guys want one.
I'm probably fine. If you cut the mention of the break.
Sure.
Just checking. Yeah, all right. Well, then let's turn to the socials, to our wonderful listeners. Thank you for helping us out with Ep 200. And I have not looked at these at all, so I have not. They aren't. Organized whatsoever. The first one I'm seeing, if it wasn't the first one I was seeing, I probably wouldn't read it because I don't like what it portends. Ryan Ritter, the real Ritter, asks, as it appears California is on the verge of opening back up, Harbor Boulevard hoedown back on. And just to reacquaint you, we've done these, you know, we got to 200 much faster than a lot of podcasts via our daily series, The City Walk Saga and the Denton Disney Ordeal. There's been discussion of doing everything that's on Harbor Boulevard next to Disneyland, which seems like, yeah, it's theme park adjacent, but almost none of it is Disney affiliated. Oh, it's like a bunch of random restaurants and hotels.
Right, yes.
So I don't want to lead with my answer, but how do you guys feel?
I think I would want to, you know, like Mike was saying, like, allow a little more time before we're, you know, back in. I'll run in a store, like, once or twice a week if I can get in and out in 5 minutes. But I think I really want to get in the mix at Captain Kidd's Buffet, you know? I really want to hunker down.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Harbor Hoedown, which is happening for sure, 100%. Will, and I'm not saying this year, I'm just saying eventually it will have to happen. It needs to happen the right way. We need to be able to maskless go into Captain Kidd's, scoop from the same troughs of macaroni and cheese and half day old chicken wings with tongs and we need to be able to get the full experience because I don't want to half ass the Harbor Hoedown, which is happening eventually 100%.
Well, I like this maskless delay. That'll push it a while.
So that'll do something for it.
That might be, though, here's where I'm at. Like, there's parts of me that have, you know, now thrill rides, I don't know, maybe I've lost the tolerance in general. Daily series sound better to me now after being holed up for a long time. And, you know, not just disease, but baby. I've been, you know, in the same place for a while. So getting out and mixing it up does sound interesting. So I'm almost like this. Maybe this has to happen sooner than later or you lose me.
Interesting.
Maybe I don't care anymore once I've gotten to do something actually fun.
That's I hear what you're saying. So we're monitoring the numbers. We're monitoring what's happening. And sooner rather than later, we could be enjoying like a big, thick glass of milk in Captain Kidd's buffet from one of those milk machines you can get at a buffet. And we're all going to sample the milk and see how it is. And we'll do an episode about just the milk.
Do we have to, like, stay at the hotels? What are the rules of this?
That's a very good question.
Mostly hotels.
A lot of hotels, some of them themed. I have stayed at one of the hotels on Harbor.
Great.
So I do have some information about that. I've eaten a personal pan pizza at the Pizza Hut Express in one of these hotels. So I can give my thoughts on that.
So that's 30 minutes right there.
Easy, yeah. So... Yeah. We'll see. Maybe we have Jason spend a night in one of them. Like, we'll see.
Sure. This might be a good chance to reach out to some travel writers who have cataloged that sort of thing.
That's
give
possible,
us
too.
Expert view.
Passing the buck, huh? you guys seeing anything that's striking you?
Yeah, this actually came in, I think it was yesterday or a couple days ago, and I kept meaning to write back, but I thought it'd be better to tell on the air. Chris Daly, the CJVD on Twitter, asked, when can we expect the Good Boys podcast, The Ride, to cover the Easter Disney Parade? Now, very early on in quarantine, we had plans to do a commentary on the Easter, one of the old Easter parades. And we had so many technical failures. We called
The twitches. The twitches were such a mess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll notice that we didn't get to our 200th. Twitch stream. That is not a number. I think we bailed after three.
The daily life became so Zoom based. The video conferencing, which I'm already not super, I don't find super natural to begin with. I've adjusted to it certainly as needed, but we kind of put that on the back burner. But this specifically, we all ripped from YouTube one of the Easter parades, and we're gonna try to do a live commentary and then archive the audio somewhere, and it just didn't
happen. It was hard. It was so hard.
It was hard. So, but maybe in the future, because I always like the Easter
parades. We'll do. Yeah. Now that things are less insane, we'll find a new way.
I want to just mention that there, as usual, everyone has different opinions. Some people thrilled to be called Cliffords. Some people less than thrilled to be called Cliffords. And I just want to say, you know, unfortunately, I think everyone is Cliffords. That's just the way it goes. But I hear what you're saying.
Imagine being a woman and being labeled a Clifford. Well, that's one that I think doesn't square.
I don't know. I see some people here, no shoes, 039. And I don't know this person's gender, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people. So there must be some women that are happy being Cliffords. Here's at Frog Wife says, I absolutely identify more with being a Clifford than a good girl, so I welcome the shift.
There's a, all right.
So that's pro Clifford.
I shouldn't go making a judgment before we get some feedback.
So we have feedback both pro and con about the Clifford situation. Let me find a different non-Clifford related one that
I think this notion is really pushing me over the edge to me identifying as an Uncle Martin.
Okay, well, we can work on, one Uncle Martin and two Cliffords.
Why can't you like normal things? You like this weird dinosaur that's peeing. It's not normal.
It's not cute. You were, when we had, you know, one of our most famous arguments, the Tokyo Disney Day argument, I think you were certainly being Uncle Martin back then.
I guess so, yeah. But I was there for 4 days.
I know.
Come around. I think you could still do it faster, but.
It's always possible to do it faster. but I think, look, we're all Uncle Martin once in a while. That's what I want to say.
Oh wait, am I up to find one? I don't really have. If anybody has one,
I can go. Mm-hmm. Here, Kevin Lester is asking, and this is a question. I mean, we talk about a lot. He says, "I would also love to hear each of your pitches for how to fix Tomorrowland if you were given the job." And this is obviously a big one, and we could do a whole episode.
There
I'm sure
is
something
a whole
like this
episode about it.
But really, for I mean, they just here's the basics. What I think I need. I need movement of some kind. Mm-hmm. I can't just sit and look at an empty track. I need something. It doesn't even necessarily need to be a ride. I just need some movement going on. I need something to even be done. Like, I'm not even asking for very much at this point. Would I love a giant crazy e-ticket going into the place where they have Star Wars launch bay? Of course. That being said, just like put in a weird robot show in the center and some seats.
Yeah.
And like just something like, oh, this is cool, and it's a fun, weird, like oddity out of the way thing with like it could be original character, it could be a Star Wars character. It doesn't matter. Literally, you just need to take some of those sections right now that are dead.
Yeah.
And just give us a little treat. And we know what we like as far as treats are concerned. Like
something.
Something. And I do like meeting the character. I'd like Kylo Ren or Chewbacca in that section, but like that's what it needs right now. Of course. Long term, it needs some crazy overhaul. Space Mountain obviously is still pretty great, and that doesn't need a ton. But put in something. It could be the Tron coaster. It could be like put some other cool thing that goes all the way around Tomorrowland. I would love it to be a few like a original IP, but it's not going to be.
What if you demolish? I like the idea of Carousel Theater coming back, but what if instead? What if maybe that mechanism is a roadblock, like it having to turn. And I don't like that Captain EO / Honey, I Shrunk the Audience Theater has been movie previews for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's garbage. That's a waste of space. So what if you do more of a stationary Country Bear kind of thing? Again, anything with robots will make us happy. Don't care premise. Truly anything you want. And in that, I'd be more okay with blowing up the carousel and having that be the base of Tron, if that space made any sense. I'm not sure if it does.
Sure. This is also, by the way, how beaten down we are about Tomorrowland is I think we're trying to be realistic here.
It's not even Blue Sky.
Right. It's not Blue Sky. Give us something.
Jason, any thoughts?
Well, I always was very fond of, I think I have one of the posters they used to sell of it, of the retro future, Tomorrowland 94 future that never was. I think a lot of that still looks pretty good. It seems like they've done like a half, removed like half of it and kind of like added in a lot more blue. I feel like you can still crib a lot of that. Maybe update it a little to more modern design standards, modern tastes. I think some sort of people mover return would be great.
Yeah.
Some sort of,
I didn't even say it. But of course.
Yeah. Some sort of retro futurism. I think it's hard because anyone like who would be, there's a lot of very interesting writers and futurists out there that you can read in any sorts of publications. But so many public figures, you know, that are like, oh, they're looking towards the future, like Elon Musk, are so toxic. Like, I don't think Disney would get in business with them. If they're smart, they won't get in business with them. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, if they'll need corporate sponsorships. And I think the best rides that, you know, a lot of rides, most rides have had some sort of corporate sponsorship at some point in time. I think companies just need to take a back seat to their narrative, the story, whatever, you know, Mitsubishi or Ford or whatever sponsor is telling needs to take a back seat to just pure entertainment.
So I don't think some like message driven like ad motto driven ride is gonna play in 2025 or whatever.
I thought it was kind of cute when I was a kid when you left Space Mountain in Florida and there was the little FedEx bots on Mars.
Sure.
Like I didn't mind that. That was a little fine.
Not every sponsorship is so eye rolly for sure.
Yeah.
Some are fine.
Yeah. I mean it was very funny to learn about like as we were doing some Epcot pavilions that like, oh, the parent company of this ride was in a like a cold war with the parent company of this ride.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say though is if you're gonna finally do something like what you're talking about, let all the rides intersect with the other rides.
Yeah, we want that back.
That's what I want back. It doesn't even matter what the ride, as long as it's moving and you can go through another ride and see into the other ride you're going into.
So cool.
So cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
So, but who knows? Maybe it'll never happen because of Disney Forward, Disneyland Forward.
Here's a speculative thing that I like, and this also opens up a whole episode can of worms, as it should. This is from Kylie Tucker. Would Disney's America have been a cool Epcot lame or like a bad DCA 1.0 type lame? Disney's America, to fill you in, what they were going to build in Virginia that was a historical theme park. In a broad strokes media term, it was always presented like it's going to be built on a real Civil War battleground. I don't know that that's actually true, but near enough to like real historical sites that people were upset they got chased out of town. It was like a bad time PR wise. Eisner was on the decline. We'll get into all, we really got to do that. That's a big blank spot.
Yeah.
I just haven't thought about it in a while. But that specific question, from what we know about it, because one thing I do, and I like this question because I think it would be there and it'd be weird. I think in 2021, Disney's America would be so strange, and either they would have had to change it entirely, or like there's no way just a 96 like historical park is just what it is still many years later.
There's Disney's America would have gone through so many different like changes to the robot show to include like a little more nuance when it came to American history. That would be my guess.
It would have had to do some. I mean, the Vox level explainers or the takes on Disney's America would have, in 2021, just would have been awful.
I would guess that whatever the version of history they would want to present in 1996 would not have aged so well by now.
I don't think a lot of it aged well in 1996. Well,
of course.
It's good that they didn't do this. But yeah, all right, in 96... do we walk around and like, this is sort of charming in a Knott's way, or would it have been bad then?
That's the question. Is it going at 96? I'm trying to think what opens in around 96 to see like what kind of level of theming. Because I don't know that it would have been as bad as California Adventure 1.0. Again, as far as theming is concerned, not as far as actual like, not like information or what you learn, what version of the idealistic Walt loving type of like great white people history you're learning there.
Yeah.
But as far as like, how nice are the buildings? As far as that judging,
yeah, that's more what I'm, yeah.
You know, that question, it's like, I could see it being like very nicely themed and you go, well, the houses here look really nice and it looks like maybe very period authentic. Like I could see that still being the case. Like, you know, Disney's America, a real mess. Don't bring your kids there unless you're going to really sit them down and explain the actual reality of America. That being said, I want you to pay attention to the details in the rooms because the trim they used inside was actually the real trim. That, like, there is that chance, and I think it's likely that that might have happened.
One barbecue restaurant is very charming, but besides that, there's a lot of bad narratives and stuff.
So I kind of think it might have actually ended up being like very aesthetically pleasing. And again, this is just from some art I've seen.
We don't know a lot, but we'll dive. Maybe we'll dive a little deeper.
And maybe this year
to do Disney's America.
Honestly, I like the idea of us rolling up our sleeves on an episode and really fixing Tomorrowland.
We should do that for sure.
I'm thinking we should do that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. Well, and analyze how did it get so bad? Get to this point? And how do we get out of it?
Right.
I've got one here from Corndare. In this hypothetical future, they've just announced a new season of Ryan Murphy's Feud, and it's Eisner versus Katzenberg, who plays who.
I just
finished the audiobook of Disney War. And
you've been telling us good stuff from that.
That book is a trip.
Yeah.
I mean, an adaptation of that would be something.
Right.
I think the only person who... the craziest thing coming out of it... Frank Wells comes out as a saint. Like there's not really any bad Frank Wells stuff. The most sympathetic character seemingly in that story, in the book, is oddly enough, CAA founder, Michael Ovitz.
Really?
Interesting.
Kind of gets tied in to, like, taking over for Wells and gets thrown into the deep end with no guidance and no help.
And it's not really his, he's an agent.
He's
like
an agent.
Unapplicable, but it's not this, the same job he's put into.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and he really imploded in a big way. Like, he was the king of Hollywood and then sort of faded.
Yeah, he seemingly was brought into Disney because he was Eisner's best friend, and then he was given no support. And that was very interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the book. The audiobook's pretty good. There's one or two moments where I don't know that I would have attempted to do I wouldn't have done that. What the narrator did. I don't know if I would have done that voice inflection of the head of Sony. I don't know that. I would have just might have said that a little flat. But those
are
pretty quick. That was only happened once or twice, and 2004 was a different time, I guess. But overall, it's a very interesting book.
Huh.
So
who
Eisner versus Katzenberg.
I'm looking at pictures of him. I got to cheat.
Well, off the top of my head for Eisner, like a Jason Momoa or I'm trying to think of a different, like Brad Pitt's a little too old, but it's in the zone.
I don't know, a Rudd or who's like really handsome and charismatic and
like Chris Evans maybe?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I think any Avenger would pretty much be.
Yeah, Hemsworth, Evans.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, by the way, we're going to cut this part and we're going to send this to his company.
This is just a random sample of the kind of thing they talk about on the show. We didn't even we just like snipped a random part.
Right.
So, you know, see if you like it. And
we're all very excited for the Tops IPO for the
Oh yeah, Tops IPO.
Happy to let you talk about the Tops IPO. We really want to get the word out.
Yeah.
I have been watching more baseball in 2020 and 2021 than I have in my life. I found it very soothing during the pandemic. Mm.
Who would have been good when he was younger is like vacation era Chevy Chase.
Oh, I could see that.
There's
sure.
energy that I get from like seeing younger Eisner in like meetings and like how I hear people describe him. Like he's very like kind of excitable, maybe a little erratic kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got a lot of energy, but and like he's giving a lot of ideas, and some of them are terrible, some of them are great. I feel like Chevy Chase in that era kind of I could see it.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that the hair is a similar vibe,
yeah.
A similar level of the way his hair receded. Yeah, in the right era, definitely could have
right.
been.
Not now.
I like that.
Katzenberg, I think you gotta go Giamatti. Paul Giamatti.
Thinking that.
Sure.
I mean, he plays so many of the great, like, real worlds. Nuts, you know, not that he, well, whatever. Interesting figures from, he's Eugene Landy. He's the guy, the manager in the NWA story. I feel like there's a bunch. Yeah, boy, that'd be a historic performance.
I mean, and
that'd
when he was alive, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I mean, he's just a great.
Good, like the greatest actors.
Yeah, the greatest actors of all time.
Is this the interesting character?
Daniel Day-Lewis could do it, too.
Katzenberg in the book is a very interesting. He keeps scheduling like 6 a.m. meetings as a power play. He's just constantly pounding Diet Coke. He ends up, there's like a massive lawsuit for him to get a proper bonus, which was very in plain English in the contract, and they fought him all the way.
Huh.
How about I throw out an idea, like an imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. What's the guy's name? Parnassus?
Yeah.
So.
We three of us play Eisner, and we just take turns in different scenes.
Yeah.
Or in the Bob Dylan movie where he's played by like 10 different people.
Yeah, yeah. And a child to show his mm-hmm. childlike wonder.
Right, that's good too. So I could see that being
when
good.
My son's old enough. I've figured out something very special for you to do. So yeah, my biggest love will play my second biggest love. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Flip those.
yeah. Make sure you get that clear. I think also if Disney itself could make an Eisner movie, and just like make it obviously the perfect history version like they did with P.L. Travers with that movie. Then you can start putting whoever plays Eisner into like the Avengers and the Star Wars or whatever. And like then Grogu gets saved by Michael Eisner at the end of one of the.
Well, you know, you want to talk retconning. Big fan of The Late Shift. Really love The Late Shift. Is any interest in an episode about The Late Shift? Is that too off topic? It might be. Let us know. But if you're up for it, you know we would talk about The Late Shift, the HBO movie, for a long time.
Michael Ovitz. Scripted podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I still think about the scripted podcast or just like doing a TV show of it like once a week.
Yeah, God. Oh, a sequel. Oh, what a dream.
You got to talk to Betty Thomas about this.
Yes. I she did a great job. She's back on board.
Wouldn't it be funny if the first podcast to ride outside of podcast was we were working on a Late Shift show?
We're finally expanding the Late Shift. I mean, a lot of old IP is coming back.
Yeah, it's not a reality show where we go on roller coasters. It's where we want to like see more of Jay Leno in a closet. Which honestly, now they say it, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But I was going to say a character in the big character in that movie, Michael Ovitz, as played by Treat Williams.
Oh, yeah.
So Treat Williams comes back, and now it's all connected. Now we're building a Marvel universe.
Right.
Yeah. So Treat Williams, I was thinking of potential Katzenberg as Bob Balaban, but if we were going to build this greater universe, Bob Balaban is already Warren Littlefield, Late Shift movie. So now a double duty Balaban can only be good for a film, but...
Right.
I don't want to, push him into that. He's an esteemed
Wallace
actor.
Wallace Shawn? Roy E. Roy E. Disney, a big character in that era.
Oh, that's good. Interesting.
Yeah. But can't you also see him getting riled up in the right way to be Katzenberg?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You could Irishman some of these people and de-age them.
Why don't we just, them, we want the greatest at. We want De Niro and Pesci. De Niro and Pesci would be great.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Who will play young Gutfeld, though? okay, well, I have one here. This is a fun one. This is Ellie Warren at Ellie Wrote That. Now, this is addressed to Mike and Jason, but I'm going to throw it to Scott, of course, too. Mike and Jason, now that we're allowed to drink in Disneyland, I must know what famous person or duo would you task with creating a Disneyland-exclusive celebrity tequila? And would the story of its creation be better than the briefcase story? Well, first of all, no. It could never, there's never going to be a better tequila creation story than the Casamigos story. That's the best story we've ever heard.
I mean, the only thing that comes close is the saga of the Hemisphere Dancer. And,
two stories that we like.
What's that again?
Oh.
Jason and I discussed it on a podcast, and I tried to tell it, and I was cut off.
Finally, a host had some balls.
He didn't know. He was Brett Davis. He didn't know what he was doing, but he accidentally cut me off in the middle of a Hemisphere Dancer explanation.
Bless you, Brett.
I don't blame him.
You have no idea how much you helped. Is there an attempt to pimp the answer into being Clooney and Gerber in that answer, or are we thinking of a new...
No, I don't think so. I think it's
or
just...
you guys...
Well, obviously, that would be the dream is if we did it. But I think as long as the ground rules are laid down that no, the origin story won't be better, but it could be a different duo of people. Who would it be? Who would make sense in 2021 in the Disney family that would make sense that they have a partnership with Disney?
Oh, because they have the wines from Kurt Russell and Bess Parker and what have you.
Right.
How's Robert Downey not... in the liquor game. That's of all the mega people.
He's sober, so...
Oh, right, we're right. Oh, yes.
So he can't do that. That would be a bad thing. I mean, obviously he doesn't have to have any involvement with it whatsoever, but probably in general...
Yeah.
That would be a no-go. As far as, big, they're getting The Rock in the family, but he already has his own thing going on, so I don't think he wants to be tied to Disney completely. He has his own brand. I'm trying to think of... Who else? Because your stars of yesteryear, your Suzanne Plachette and your Kurt Russells.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart,
Bob Newhart's
90-year-old Bob Newhart could be involved. The easy answer might be a Tom Hanks, Tim Allen duo teaming up with the celebrity tequila. Woody and Buzz's tequila.
And it's some, like, it's a translation from another language, and the translation is friend in me.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What's friend? Oh, yeah, that would be great.
But if you want the top shelf, like the Pappy Van Winkle, like top shelf tequila to go along with that, you get Chris Evans, because this is it's not the toy tequila, it's the tequila that the... It's the raw from the barrel tequila, from the pure agave
it's
that
the raw
tequila is
agave.
Based on.
Amigo en mi would be the
friend
in
me. I guess we could have known. We could have guessed that one.
I guess that wasn't that difficult, but.
Maybe you got to do it like a deeper, it's like, you know, it's we go into some, you know, Estonian type language to disguise it more.
Right.
But then, I do like the. Do you like the sound of that? The two of them, I mean, now that truck goes by.
Oh.
And what is it? Is it them, like, it's not them in the costumes, and it's not Woody and Buzz, because they don't want to associate the characters with alcohol, but is it, like, little nods in that, is it, like, that one's in a cow, that Tom's in a cool cowboy hat, and Tim is in... What?
I got it. I got it. It's just two hands, like, toasting glasses, and the one stir stick is, like, a cowboy hat on the end, and the other is a spaceman helmet on the end.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Light years ahead of any other tequila on the market.
Light years ahead. That's pretty good. That's a little more, I was going to say, the big duo right now is Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it, too. I was going to pitch with Tim and Tom... that the truck is actually three motorcycles with the two of them and then Randy Newman also next to them on a motorcycle, 78-year-old Randy Newman.
You got to have a Randy if you're going to do a premium tequila.
Yeah.
So better have a Randy on board.
I think Randy should be driving a motorcycle, and then they should each be in a sidecar.
Oh,
it
that's
should be a motorcycle
too.
With two sidecars attached.
Somebody could draw that for us, please.
Another potential tagline, you are a tequila.
Sure. That's true. Randy, re-record it.
That's all great. That should be made. Thank you, listeners, for your questions and for listening to this experimental In the Elements episode. We got a couple more things, right? Mike, you got something up your sleeve? Do we also do the other one, animatronic?
Oh, sure. Mine is something that I realized as I was pulling up. I go, you know, I should have told him so we could work this out because the bit will be better. But let's do it anyway.
Okay.
I want to debut a new segment called PTR 400.
Okay.
Okay.
This is 200 episodes right now, and you're talking about 400.
And the idea I had, and again, this is why I'm starting to doubt it, was that we format this much like the Conan O'Brien segment in the year 2000.
Well, yes, those were written an inch of their
those
life.
Those are like
yes.
good jokes, and I went, you know what? I first said we should really have planned this, but you know, we'll see what happens, and if we have to edit it out, we have to edit it out.
Okay, so we're imagining what is the 400th.
Basically, all I'm thinking is this: we'll go around and we'll do a couple, and each one of us will say something that could be. Happened on the show by Podcast Survivor 400, maybe in each of our lives. Mm-hmm. It could be anything, really. But when we get to Podcast Survivor 400, what will have happened?
Yeah. By Podcast Survivor 400, 104 of those will have been the Harbor Hoedown. So we'll be there approximately this time next year.
And then we'll say Podcast Survivor 400.
400.
Jason, do you want to go?
Sure. By Podcast The Ride 400, I will have completed my trip to Japan to tour the theme parks there.
Oh, well, then we get the real one.
This is exciting because you can do real ones, so this segment is good.
And I will also finally be being released from the Japanese prison I had been confined in.
Podcast The Ride 400. We will have had... Randy Gerber on the show. Podcast The Ride 400.
We're talking real ones. This is a high bar. Maybe we should set it. Dollywood.
Oh, yeah. Podcast The Ride 400. I don't like this part of it, but let's keep going.
Greg Gutfeld will have really given Disney the business for introducing oat milk at their coffee outlets in the parks.
Podcast of Ride 400.
Liberal commie bunk.
I will sit through at least two more Disney timeshare presentations for, or maybe not for, free fast passes. Podcast of Ride 400.
But that's happening. That's regardless of if we stopped doing the show after episode, you would still.
Yes, that is a good point.
Okay. Well, I think, let's see. We've got the second gate. By Podcast of the Ride 400, we're up to the 12th gate, which is...
As long as we can avoid that 9th gate.
we're up to... and that is... that's $10,000 a month. But I don't. But what's the... what do you get for $10,000? What's the desired for $10,000 a month?
Jason will kiss you on the mouth.
We book you a room at the Grand Californian. That is only $5,000 a month. So we,
but our, you live in the Grand Californian.
No, just I. It's just however long that gets you.
But it's it's booked by Mike. Will book you
Mike will
a
book
place
it.
To live in the Grand Californian.
Unfortunately, he takes a 100% commission. It appears.
It's true. It's by Podcast The Ride 400.
400.
Yes.
Where were we? Who said the last thing? Oh, you said the last
I just
thing.
Said one, but we could end it whenever.
Yeah,
any other dreams of Podcast The Ride?
You know, I will say Podcast The Ride will do something maybe that's not a podcast. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but I feel like that would be good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It could be the late shift. It could be something else.
Oh, that count? Like our first narrative project?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or it's just, we just record some more video in the parks, and that's it.
So YouTubing.
Yeah.
Great. TikToking. Don't have the TikTok presence yet.
No pressure.
Can't wait. Can't wait to do it. And that, I guess, is Podcast The Ride.
Yeah. 400.
Except that you know what'll happen by then? A lot of good times. Good fun, good in person.
Yes.
For God's sake. I can't wait to keep doing it. We'll keep zooming a little, unless, I don't know, we'll see. We'll just determine when we're back.
We'll see, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think what it also hopefully leads to is getting out there and mixing it up in the world. You know what? We've been able to do a lot of research and stuff, and we've been able to go to drive-through experiences, but getting back and doing things, going to places we haven't been, this is what I'm excited for. There'll be a lot of
yes.
that by Podcast The Ride 400.
Yeah, gradual steps. That's what I was saying to someone earlier. Baby steps. Don't do what I did last year and go from just sitting on a couch to suddenly in the middle of a set. Because was a terrible move on my part.
Yes. Ease back into sighted. But yes, there'll be we're going to milk going back to all these parks. We're going to get episodes out of these journeys back and give you trip reports and that'll happen.
On that note, here's one final thing. In our feeling nostalgic for 2017 when we started doing the show and that's right, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
2017.
About 5 or 6 months before it launched, we started.
Wow, that's right. Yeah, we were building up a little bit, and we had segments back then, and we had one that the intent was to do monthly until we realized we could just talk into infinity about any topic for over 2 hours easily. Something we talked about doing every month was the animatronic of the month. That was going to be so recurring, and we've so let down on that. We haven't named one of those in God knows when. And with that in mind, I think you got to go broader than the month. You got to go bigger, being that it's been so long. I think that we need to name an animatronic of the year. And not just that, but my other thought on this, there's a lot of animatronics that are about to be turned back on wonderfully, magically, for the first time in over a year. And, you know, we could honor the ones that have just been going in Florida, but why not give it up for the ones that have been stuck, just gathering dust since last March when all the crazy crap happened. And so that's why I propose the segment, Dormant Animatronic of the Year. Let's
yeah.
give it up for these guys who are about to have purpose once more.
I think we can all agree the animatronic of 2020 was malfunctioning Donald in the Mexico Pavilion that was eventually replaced with a particle board cutout. And at one point in time, a potted plant. And at one point in time, a potted plant with a sombrero thrown on it. And then eventually, nothing.
I mean, that's a way to go out. Some animatronics just break and then you don't see them again. But Donald made a big stink on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never forget it.
But dormant soon to come to life one.
Yes. Yeah. Does anybody feel like starting?
I don't, because I kind of think now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't follow the assignment so well.
Okay, that's fine.
I have one.
You go ahead first, yeah.
Okay, great.
I would like to nominate an animatronic that I learned had a name.
Oh.
I didn't realize he had a name.
Mm.
His name is Pickwick. He is the ghost hanging off the chandelier via cane, holding a glass of wine in the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
Ballroom scene.
Yes.
Who maybe we'll get to Pickwick this year on the Haunted Mansion episode.
We'll see. Around the corner. We're going to get to Pickwick.
Well, we'll see. There's a lot of crazy characters.
There are a lot of different characters. I mean, we kind of laid out what we're going to do, but who knows what's going to happen when we actually get in there.
Pickwick is like the closest to... It's like the first thing we'll see.
I mean, maybe there's like some sort of secret Rolly Crump like artwork on the floor
that's
we didn't notice.
That's true.
And that episode,
what sort of woodworking was done in that room?
Maybe there was an insect infestation in the exact hallway we're going to pass through. Okay, Pickwick.
Pickwick is hanging off the chandelier via his cane. He's having the time of his life. And I think he's a great representation of the optimism that much of us are all feeling after over a year of like doom and gloom, and then suddenly like, you know, just stepped on the gas and everything started happening out here. It was like, you know, night and day recently. The seasons changed, and then suddenly everyone's just like, yeah, you can get it. Just drive to Bakersfield for the vaccine.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. If you know, they're talking about it, it's going to be a roaring 20s. It's going to be such an indulgent time, and Pickwick's obviously indulgent. We're all going to be Pickwick's hopefully soon enough, hanging off chandeliers.
But we're all taking, it's much easier to take pictures of our food in 2020 as opposed to 1920. You used to have a big contraption and then wait days to get it back. And
Is that why he's on the chandelier? Is he trying to get an overhead shot of the food on the table?
Is he an influencer? Is he like
the original influencer with an old film camera?
Pickwick is a TikTok comedian now.
TikTok. All right, Pickwick is our first nominee. I'm excited to talk about Pickwick whenever we get to.
I am going to still pick my pick, and I've changed it around to exactly how I'm formatting.
Good.
Don't worry, it'll be the same.
Yeah.
You know, we're saluting animatronics that are, you know, about to be turned on. But in the same way, what about saluting an animatronic that can't be turned on?
Oh.
And maybe you're saying that's not an animatronic, Michael. Maybe you've accidentally said that you're going to salute a statue. And maybe that is what I'm doing. But I would like to salute Mr. Incredible perpetually reaching for Jack-Jack saying num num cookie. Okay? He deserves credit. I consider him an animatronic because it sort of suggests movement. And maybe, yeah, technically he's not a robot and he's not moving around. But we're going by so fast, you can sense like he's like really trying to do it. And I'd like to salute that animatronic, I'll call him, because, you know, he can't be turned on. That is what he's stuck like that forever. He's stuck like that for our enjoyment. And for the last year, he's had to be stuck in that looks like a very stressful position he's in. And he's had to not be entertaining people. At the very least, he could say, you know, I'm in a horrible position. I don't have a bottom half at all. But at least people are having enjoyment and they're smelling this slightly cookie-ish smell. I don't know that it always...
I've barely noticed it.
Smells really a ton like cookies. But...
yeah.
I think he deserves recognition, especially in the last year when he knows the other robots are going to be turned on, but he can't be turned on. He's stuck.
That's a very good framing, and we do need to give it. That's a very specific plight. There's people who wish he was an animatronic, but he's not. We have to love him for what he is.
Exactly.
So Mr. Incredible in the tunnel is candidate number two.
Mm-hmm.
candidate number three. You know, for all of us, this holiday season, the holidays in 2020 were very difficult. Most of us could not see our families, could not gather and sing our favorite holiday songs. So imagine if you represented the holidays, and the holidays came and went without a single visitor or jolt of electricity through your withered wires. Woe is the plight of the holiday overlay animatronic.
Oh.
Stuck in the crate where you already spend most of your lonely year as it is. And imagine then if you represented a second holiday too, which you also miss and is also sad for everybody. And on top of that, an increasingly loud mob of unappreciative theme park fans are mad at you and that your overlay lasts too long, straddling too many holidays. And it's not just nerds throwing shade at you, but Ryan Gosling, cool guy, the gangster squatter himself. How much disrespect could there be for all of these characters? But which one am I going with? I'm going with one that I think, though he's torn apart just for living his regular seasonal life, I believe that when this Halloween comes, he will ignore the barbs, grin as wide as ever, and sing out his mocking song, loud and proud, scary singing plant number 15 in Haunted Mansion Holiday. You are my pick for dormant animatronic of the year.
Oh, that's great. And that's one of those robots where you can really hear it working.
Yes,
you can hear the
absolutely.
Clacks.
When I brought this up to Erin, she said, you know what I love about those? Clack, clack, clack.
Yes.
Like the Tiki Birds, like the original animatronics. It's, a fun throwback in that way. They're so loud.
Also, real quick, just Gosling for Eisner, too. Decent choice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think if you've been on, like, GQ or really any style magazine, I think you're a great Eisner.
I agree.
Well, and he would have met him, right? Because Gosling was in the 90s Mickey Mouse Club.
Bet Eisner probably swung by that at some point in time.
Oh, yeah.
He should have. I mean, he was very busy in the Gosling era. That's kind of when it was. That's when Wells died and it all fell apart.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Tough time for Gosling and Timberlake to enter. Timberlake, another good candidate. Throw
great
him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And throw in, Christina as Eisner's wife.
I think that's great. And have Eisner. And like, rewrite everything so Eisner, wrote some of the songs in the movies.
He just clears get out of here, shoves Menken to the side, rolls up his sleeves, perfect on the first try, a whole new world.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Wouldn't you think my ass just the top of my head, but I don't know, collection's complete. Okay, there is it is that so hard.
That'll be the P.L. Travers Saving Mr. Banks version. All great candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like all of them very much. I believe that how we did this, I had to go back and check. I think we had the audience decide.
We did. Okay, good.
Unlike other things where we decide for them, we pick Clifford for them, and we pick the name Clifford for them. In here, we're giving the audience a little bit of choice.
Yes.
So we'll put that poll on the Twitter, and you can decide the dormant animatronic of the year.
I think you made a great case for that plant because it's in the box.
Stuck in a box. And how much it would look forward to getting that crack of light and I get to come out finally.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. For the first time since the late 90s, its existence, didn't get to come out.
Right. So anyway, you decide. You listen. You decide.
Yeah. 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 You can go do that, obviously, at Twitter, at Podcast The Ride. We're on all the socials at Podcast The Ride, and I'm just dovetailing it into the plugging stuff, because you survived Podcast The Ride, and some of you have survived 200 of these main feed episodes. And wait, I had the count, because we're close to, I believe there are 94 Patreons, so we're close to 300, which is a bigger
wow.
One in a way.
Wow.
And to those of you who've listened to all of these, we can't thank you enough, and thanks for being with us for so many, and we hope to see you the next time. Not 300, that we can't see you for that. That wouldn't be safe. We'll see you for an anniversary or for not anniversary. We want to see everybody soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this these mailbag questions, some we didn't get to, some very good candidates for Second Gate episodes, I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, always send those. Please nudge us whatever you want us to do. And if you want to hear those, obviously there's always three bonus episodes every month at Podcast Thrive, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcastthrive. Fellas, thanks for hanging out. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I'm so glad we could do it. There's something to it. It's fun. It's nice to do it this way.
No, there's not that. As I've said before, there's not that half second before you know if that thing you thought you said that was funny is funny or not, because you have to wait for a delay in reaction.
Yeah, boy.
Where you have like a little terror of like, I thought that I said it was funny, and then so you get a little more immediate. So it's nice. It doesn't make me feel as crazy.
Yeah. And just in leaving the same room that we're in all the time, that helps. That's nice. I mean, we've been wanting to do it this way for a long time. I feel like December was so bad. Couldn't do like a holiday thing. This seemed like the time. There's optimism. I hope everybody's feeling it.
So hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be having some sort of jamboree.
Oh, that's right. In doing this, I hope this has been nice to listen to and you're happy that we did something together in person, but we did bail on the Country Bear promise.
We did sort of. I mean, it's half and half because we did say sort of when it's safe to be inside together, we would do Country Bears.
Is that what we said?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, a jamboree is going to involve like a, you know. We maybe have to record in pieces, and there'll be a cavalcade of star. You know,
multiple households would have to be involved. That's the. This is three. This is fine, and it's outside, and it's massive, and it's safe. The jamboree needs a lot more than that.
This is the current California regulation of number of households who can. We're at the max, I think, right now.
That's right.
Hopefully, that's again sooner rather than later. I was discussing a little bit of it today. I'll just say that in general. So
okay,
that'll be coming up, and we'll see. Again, you have to talk. When Biden says we can jamboree, we'll jamboree. You got to listen to Biden when he says you can pull out.
Hey, Mac, we'll have our jamborees back.
By the way, the decent chance he says something about having a jamboree in the next few months. That's possible.
Jamboree is just what he calls TikTok.
Right, sure.
Your kids getting on Jamboree, doing their dances, doing the skidoos. Well, this has been a blast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Back with more, hopefully less planes and stuff. But what am I apologizing for? I'm so happy we did
okay.
It. This is great. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.